Yeah, you should listen to it. It's his best song.
His best song is a song that isn't his.
Yeah. Hello everybody and welcome to the Filipino Freethinkers podcast that's also a video. I'm Red.
I'm Jessica.
And I'm Dahlia.
And today we're talking about Grace Poe, the candidate. What can we say about her, Grace Poe? Like she is cleared, right? She can run for president.
Yes.
Like that matter has been settled, you know, for better or worse. Supreme Court itself has made their decision, and she can run, and you can vote for her. She's on the ballot. What do you think about her? First impressions? I mean, your impression of Grace Poe.
She's, of all the candidates, the most inoffensive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yes. fair enough. What about you?
I think she's the most neutral. She's inoffensive. And you know, she doesn't really incite a lot of strong feelings, not the way the other candidates do.
Mm-hmm.
And her fan base is a lot more quiet than the rest of the people.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with both of you. That's a fair assessment, I think. Like, she doesn't really have any controversial stance. I mean, apart from her status as a Filipino, you know, and her having stayed here enough to qualify for running as a candidate, like that's probably the most controversial thing about her, and that's a huge thing. I mean, that's the only thing that people can throw at you. Okay, maybe her lack of experience. People also trumpet that, like they mock her by saying, "What MTRCB is what you're proud of," you know, like, to but be fair.
There are also allegations that she's in the pockets of some.
Okay.
Yes.
Landing.
Very, very, yes.
Yeah, allegedly.
If Landing. We're naming names.
The Coco Levy Fund has been.
Everyone knows about Landing Coanco backing her.
Okay, so for a particular part of the people who criticize her, that's their main beef.
Yes.
You know, you're still part of the oligarchy, maybe not as much as Mar Rojas is, but you've shown that you're already part of it. And before that, my impression of her. I was very impressed by her showing at the debate.
Yes.
You know, the way she answered the questions, I gave it to her.
Mm.
You know, people say that, well, the same guy who teaches kids, like, coached her for that. She prepared so much. Well, what else are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
It's a debate. You're supposed to prepare.
Yes.
And she did come well prepared. You know, the answers that she gave were rehearsed, right? Like she understood it. Maybe not as off the cuff as Mar's answer seemed, but she showed that she understood the issues that she prepared for. At times she was flustered and she didn't do as well on those. But it just shows that she can perform. And what is the job of a politician to perform?
Yes.
Right? At the previous podcast, the one about Mar, the 101st episode, we talked about how being the president isn't a closed book exam,
mm-hmm.
where you're supposed to know everything inside out, like the back of your hand, economics, politics, and all of these things, international relations. You can ask your advisors, your cabinet, like other experts, and you can like summarize everything that they tell you, and that's what you say. And this is a good indication to me, at least, that she can learn from people who talk to her.
Yeah.
She is coachable.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and that's important. So now let's focus first on the positives, then let's go to the negatives. What are the positive things about the candidate Grace Poe?
Going back to the debate, I especially like the exchange between Grace Poe and Mar Rojas about the Coco Levy Fund. It's not the way she answered or her argument, but the fact that she. Because her reason for opposing opposing Mar Rojas on the Coco Levy Fund issue was because she wanted the release of the money to go through the legislative
process,
and not through the executive.
Okay.
And I think that she showed that she values the power of the legislative enough to not do executive shortcuts.
Okay.
So I like that about her.
Yeah. Like the balance of powers, you know, these are co-equal branches here.
Checks
like
and balances.
Yeah, the way things have gone so far, especially back then when we had the lump sum, the PDAF, you know, it's the president who gets to order around the Supreme Court and the Congress.
Yeah.
And by saying that, she respects the power of the legislative. Yeah, and she doesn't say, if you disagree with me, I will kill all of them, or I will close this branch of government.
Maybe this is setting a low bar, but I like that that level of nuance was there.
That's true.
That there is actually this, no, I won't do this, no, I won't do that. Well, but what if it wasn't your choice? What if it was a choice of, you know, duly elected legislators by
Okay, and go through the process.
Yeah.
I mean, she went through the process herself. Mm-hmm. You know, COMELEC disqualified her, the TRO of the Supreme Court, and then finally the decision. We do have processes in place.
Yeah.
If you want to change those, go through the legislative.
And no calls for revolution or for people power or whatnot.
Okay, and that's valuable to some. What do you think are the valuable things about
for Grace Poe? I do like that she's neutral enough about a lot of issues that she seems to be at least open to discussion on them. And I like that she acknowledges that there are other people who are more intelligent than her, and she respects their opinions enough to not be so adamant about her stances. Like how when she, I assume she found value in Duterte's stance on crime, so she said that he would be her crime czar, and she realized, no, this person is
horrible,
misogynist, and then she said, no, actually, I don't like him anymore because of that rape thing.
Okay.
You know,
she can change her mind.
Yes, she can change her mind, and she does it in a respectful enough way that I think isn't so terrible.
In a diplomatic way. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So that's important too. To me, Grace Poe, I agree with what you said. She learns.
Yeah.
You know, she is coachable. You can't convince her. Like, compared with, let's say, Mar Rojas and Duterte, when they got into that ugly exchange of words, I don't think she's the kind of person to get into that. You know, compared to Miriam, you know, Miriam's smart and all that, but she could get into that kind of thing as well. You know, those undiplomatic exchanges. Binay has been more a statesman, to be fair to him. He hasn't been that kind, but of all of these, I think Grace Poe is the most diplomatic of all of them.
And when it comes to Miriam, by the way, she has shown through various issues in her long career in politics that she can also be partisan, and she can also play the politics game.
And she heckles.
Yeah. And she
does heckle. I mean, that's one problem that I had with Mar and Duterte in most of the debates. They did heckle each other for most of their time on stage, and that wasted a lot of time, which Miriam has been shown to do in Senate also.
Yeah, okay. Grace Poe, I mean, out of all the candidates, you know, if I could pick one to send to the UN and to be the Filipino I would pick Grace Poe. I mean, let's not even consider the platforms, you know, how they would run the country. Let's not even consider that. But representation of the Philippines to an international body is one of the functions of a president. And I think I would be most proud of someone like Grace Poe there. I mean, not only proud, but I would be confident.
Yes.
You know, my mind would be at ease that they wouldn't say or do anything or act in a way that would embarrass us unnecessarily.
Yeah.
So positives? What are the negatives?
Of course, her inexperience.
Okay.
Relative to all the other candidates, she had a shortest career.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Has she even passed a lot of laws, did she?
I mean, the thing is, it's easy enough to sign on to the laws. I mean, but being the author and the principal sponsor, that's another thing. And I don't know. Again, this podcast isn't meant to be the go-to, the comprehensive be-all and all for all of you guys. We trust that you will
do your own research.
Do your own research as well, right? Negatives for you.
Negatives. I think it is also her diplomacy and her being so nice that's her downfall, because she it's worrying to put her in a position of power, because she might be swayed by the very charismatic people who are around her. She might be swayed by Dending Kuangko. She might be swayed by these people who are surrounding her simply because she looks like she could win.
Okay.
And that's worrying to me, because she hasn't been very... I don't feel like she's a strong enough personality
not
to
a,
hold
okay,
her own.
So
she's not the Miriam.
Her positive can also be her negative.
Yes.
She's not the kind of put your foot down person and be decisive.
Yes.
Decisive. She's not... Okay.
Not that I don't think that she has any strong opinions, but it's worrying that... I mean, everyone has strong opinions.
Yeah.
There are some things that you hold deep in your heart that you will never compromise on.
Yeah.
But we have never seen what these are in Grace Poe. She's never come
She hasn't risked anything.
Yes. Yeah. So we don't know really which values she holds deep in her heart of hearts.
Okay, we do not know yet. Yeah, we don't know yet. So that's, I mean, to be fair to someone like Duterte.
Yeah, we know his stance.
It's all out there. Yeah. You know, he's the, here's my dirty laundry if you don't like it, you know.
We're assuming that that's already his dirty laundry, though.
That's what we're assuming, right? Okay, so Poe
might
is...
might be hiding horrible things.
Yeah, Poe seems to have the cleanest slate, for better or worse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a positive and also a negative. Okay, to me, the negative is... I agree, the, you know, being part of the oligarchy, you know, that...
kind of
part. The... you know, the defending the Coco Levy Fund. I mean, there's a conflict of interest there, and that's, I think, problematic, definitely. The way she got to become a candidate itself, I had an issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, it was so easy. You know, just checking, like, how long have you been in the country?
Yeah.
You know, that's the easiest thing, and I don't think she should have been allowed to run, but that does not... you know, we're not even arguing about that anymore. I mean, by the same merit, maybe Duterte should have been disqualified because it was also a technicality, right?
Mm.
But if you're arguing that the Filipino people want these people to run and want a chance to vote for them, then okay.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about them, so that's a negative for me, but not even an issue anymore. Now, interesting stuff. Okay, to me, interesting is the possibility that we could have a Grace Poe and a Lenny Robredo in the president and vice president
slot. What is this slate?
It's
Pobredo.
Pobredo. I don't know if that's a thing, but that's what I call it. It's fine. I mean, but like I mentioned, Poro. Poros are cute. Check out a picture. Poro, right?
I've seen them.
Roro seems, you know, like it's
yeah, they're really
it's noble, you know, you're rowing and rowing, row, row, row your vote, that kind of thing. But, but Poros are cute.
Oh my god.
Right? And yeah, League of Legends fans, and I know there are many of you. Poro 2016. No, but in seriousness though, there is a special significance to me of there being
two women
in the top two highest positions of the country.
Yes.
Right? We already have a track record of women leaders.
Yes, we have
and
had two female presidents.
There's room for more.
Yes.
I think that it would be good for women's rights, you know, our age and all that, divorce, maybe those things. And as a counterpoint,
maybe. Do we even
considering that she's against divorce?
I mean, yeah. I know. But again,
she could be
changeable.
Persuaded. Right?
I think she's
through
persuadable.
Of course,
right?
Of course.
Right? And
like how she used to be for same-sex marriage, now she's not.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm against death penalty.
I'm against her stance on death penalty.
Yes, me too.
By the way, just to throw that in there,
that's
a very important thing to me.
Yes.
When she said that she would make Duterte the crime czar, I mean...
That was off for me also, considering his track record.
Considering his statements on summary execution as a solution to crime and poverty, I was against her when she did that as well. So getting back to the symbolism, the special symbolism, have two women on the top two slots of the country. It's just a counterpoint to someone like Duterte having no regard or showing little regard when he made the statements about women, about these women's rights groups and you know them going to hell when they just ask for their rights to be recognized.
Yes.
And then having two women at the top two slots, I mean that would just be kind of like poetic justice, you know?
Yes.
So that's an interesting angle for me to think about.
I would find it interesting that if Grace Poe were to win, she would be the first woman president of the Philippines who didn't get to that position through...
To be actually elected, right?
To be actually elected. Not get to be president because
in
of
the
an
usual
unstable
way.
Government.
Yeah. In the usual way, in the usual exercise.
Yeah. Which should be more symbolic than, for example, yung kay Cory and kay Gloria, because this one is elected. She was chosen. I mean, by a
those had
minority. Technically, Gloria was elected.
Yeah,
the second
technically,
time.
It's still
okay,
in the process, right?
Oh yeah, she was elected.
Yeah,
that's why she was in power for almost 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Albeit,
she was elected.
Albeit,
yes, I forgot.
There was Hello Garcia.
Sorry.
There were a lot of issues with her election,
okay,
but she was.
Yeah.
Technically elected, and it was technically a stable government under her at the time.
Okay, let's give that to her. Let's give that to GMA. What do you think are the interesting things
about Grace?
About a Grace presidency.
A Grace presidency. Yeah, I do like the thing with Poe and and Robredo in power. It would send a great signal. But I worry that it will make people assume that women are treated better here than they really are.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are already saying that the equality in the Philippines is good. I acknowledge that it's better than most places, but I don't think we're good.
Yeah,
it's
we have a long way to go.
It's more terrible.
Yeah, we have a long way to go, definitely.
And I think this might ease relations with the countries that Duterte has already offended.
Yes.
Because there are, if you've seen, there are news channels in Australia saying, rip up your tickets to the Philippines. Don't go there.
I saw that one. Right? Yeah.
I saw that. Okay. And if we elect two women into presidency and vice presidency, I think that would show that we aren't condoning the rape jokes that Duterte mentioned, and we are respecting our women more than they might think.
And it would be very compatible with the U.S. I mean,
because she was American.
And Hillary Clinton, another American woman, is leading.
But then again, Hillary might be annoyed because now she won't be the first American president.
Ah, okay. Yes. Burn.
First female American president.
We like the joke. Okay. So another interesting...
And we'll be gaining like four more citizens because her family will only renounce their American citizenship when she wins the presidency, you know?
Okay. Another
more Filipinos.
Interesting thing about Grace. Okay, they're looking at her as the not Duterte, not
Binay,
not Rojas, that could win.
Yes.
Because the other one is Miriam, and about that. Yeah, she's kind of not going to win. And, you know, it's admirable.
Sorry,
for people who still vote for her, I mean, that's admirable, sure.
Yes.
But yeah, she probably will not win. Paul is the person who can win and who is not. Rojas, Binay,
or
Duterte, the other more controversial ones. And that's why they're going with Po. And that's why we're talking about strategic voting now.
Okay. Yes.
So what do you think about the existence of strategic voting, the ethics of it? What's your take on that?
I read this article that was supposed to be for the American elections on about people who vote their conscience.
Yeah,
or,
the conscience vote.
Yes, the conscience
the
vote versus the
strategic
vote.
Okay.
And it makes the argument that people who make the conscience vote are selfish.
Aww.
Because
selfish.
I'm
you're
not
selfish.
Saying you're selfish. I'm saying that the article. Let me be clear. Yeah. I'm saying that the article I read about the American election says that voting your conscience would be selfish. This in the context of the Bernie versus Hillary.
Okay. Yes.
It's a very polite way of saying you're wrong. You know, you don't call them idiots. You're just selfish. It's okay. Yeah.
Yes, but
okay.
What's your
so what do you think? What do you think?
My stance on it would be they're not necessarily selfish, I guess.
The conscience voters.
Yeah. I just think that they overvalue
honesty. Integrity.
They overvalue, I guess, integrity?
Yeah. Integrity,
is that what I call it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it
okay.
Is.
They
being
overvalue
true to yourself.
They
you know,
overvalue
what is your...
integrity, especially in the context of politics, because honestly, none of these people, even Grace, even I would say, even Robredo, none of these people really, none of these politicians deserve the sort of feeling of integrity that you have in your hearts. When you vote.
Right?
I think that a conscience vote would be naive.
Naive.
Yes.
Okay. And do we reward naivete? Or is it...
I think it's a noble to aspire to that.
Yeah.
I think it's noble to say, I want this to be the face of how I interact with people and how I interact with society.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's practical.
Okay.
I think that we should have that when the elections are over and we need to build a society around this administration.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's when we have to have these ideals of
integrity.
Integrity.
Yeah.
But before that,
anything goes. Anything
goes. Okay.
Yeah, I find it interesting these elections. Like, what is the actual question they're asking on that ballot? Like, who do you think is most fit to lead? Is that is that really the question? Or, you know, like, how are you going to cast your bet?
Yeah.
You know, what are the odds, like, for you to get the biggest prize? Or is the question, like, and be honest, like, who do you think is best fit to run this country?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're the integrity voter, the conscience voter, that's the question that you think is being asked by these ballots. If you're the strategic voter, it's more than that. Like, how are you going to throw your... ballots. I mean, your bets. Who are you backing here?
And of course,
in this exercise,
there's also the bro voter. When he looks at the ballot, he says, who would you rather have a beer with?
Oh, okay.
I've encountered people who are like that.
Okay, and who would you rather go to the parlor with? You know, if you're that kind of...
I guess.
Is there such a thing even? Anyway.
I don't know.
If there weren't candidates who were possibly going to win who were terrible, then I'd be fine with people voting for who they wanted to win.
Hmm.
I think the conscience vote is fine so long as there's no impending terrible person running.
Isn't there always one?
If there's no existential threat to Philippine democracy.
Yes. I mean, there have been times when it wasn't so bad. I mean, I think even the last elections when the second placer was Arab, I think that would have been tolerable because he's been president before. He didn't do that much. You know, it wasn't that terrible in the 2 years he was here.
Okay.
You know,
the wedding allegation?
Yes.
I mean, he was thrown out for the wedding.
Yeah, so he didn't do that much when he was in power. And we've shown that we can throw him out.
Okay.
So I think I would have been okay with conscience voting for that elections. But this time, I think it's not okay simply because I find Duterte deplorable, which we can discuss next week.
Yeah, okay,
right?
that's for you,
that's
by the way.
For next
that's
week.
That's your take on Duterte.
Yes.
I mean, other people,
yes,
they think
that
Marrojas is disgusting and
yes,
they would be applying the same logic.
Yeah.
Anyone but Mar, after his, you know, the way he's handled so many things in the country, anyone but Mar is their chorus. And for Binay too, they could sing that.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone singing that for Poe or Miriam though.
Yeah.
So again, these three guys are, I think, the most contested.
Given how our elections are running, I think we're voting the wrong way. I think our voting system is wrong. We shouldn't be voting for the person we want to win. We should be casting negative votes.
Okay.
And you should be allowed to shade in however many you want
how
to shade
horrible.
In.
How horrible.
Right? Like, I hate all of the candidates. I will shade them all in. They all get a negative one from me.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm fine with Miriam or Poe winning. I'm not fine with any of the boys. I will shade in Duterte, Binay, and Rojas because I don't want them to win.
If enough people do not want them to leave, because by default, that's already happening, right?
Yeah.
It happened with Pinoy.
Yes.
Like, more people in the country did not want Pinoy to lead them, but he won anyway. And that's going to happen again and again and again because there are a lot of alternative ways that are better. Like, for
so
one
many.
Thing, the runoff would be better. And I mean, I think people would argue that that's it would cost a lot of money and resources to do something like a runoff. But that's better than what we have now, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and that kind of voting where you could vote so that someone does not win.
Yeah,
and then
I would want to propose
factor all of that, yeah?
You have like 10 negative votes and you can partition them as much as you want. So you can go five negative votes for this candidate, three
that's
for this.
That's true, that's very true.
Yeah, many interesting ways, but the way things have been going have been okay enough for the people in power. And that's, I think, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. If it's working for them,
that's why we still have Pidaf at the end of the day.
Then that's fine. Are you voting for Grace Poe, for Poro? If you are, if you're not, share this anyway. Like, share, subscribe. You know the drill. We will be talking about this, the candidates, and so many other things at the meetup. Check out our website and social media sites for that. On behalf of Talia and Jessica and Garrick and the analyst desk and our millions of staff members, see you next week.